the late 80s, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television, and to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I'm so happy that you're part of my collection of friends.
Wait, what?
You're part of my collection.
That's a weird way to put it.
Of friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
A collection, huh?
Yeah. You come to my house, you sit in that chair.
Yeah, I do that because I want to, not because you make me.
Oh, yeah, but I've convinced you that you want to.
Oh, is that how it is? I'm starting to rethink this relationship.
This podcast is a collection of your spirit and soul on as audio.
God, you're making it sound like a prison now.
No, it's not a prison. It's an art gallery.
Oh, God. We're talking about the most toys.
Yes.
Man, what a creepy episode.
It was. I liked this episode a lot.
Great.
I thought it was
big
really
fan.
Well done.
Yeah.
I do have a fun fact about it as well.
Oh, okay.
You know that tiny little shuttlecraft that Data was on?
Yeah, it seems smaller than the other ones.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely was. Its name is Pike, after Christopher Pike.
Oh, Captain Pike.
Yes, yeah. The captain and the pilot of the original series.
The Cage.
The Cage, yes.
Another collection episode.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. It's a common theme in science fiction.
Yeah.
But I think this one pulled it off a lot better.
Oh, hell yeah. This is way better than The Cage.
Yeah. Well, this came out May 7th, 1990.
Okay.
And for Patrick's log this week, I'm going to do something a little different. I couldn't find a headline. Normally, I use the LA Times from that week, but for some reason, just those archives aren't up. So we're going to do an audio version. I found a Hollywood Insider from May 7th, 1990. It aired the same day as this episode. It's about New Kids on the Block. And just take a little listen at the guy that they're interviewing and see if his voice sounds familiar.
Get out of control. The new kids have been trapped in elevators, had their hair pulled, and their shirts ripped off. But when the crowds aren't too big, the group knows how to tame the hysteria.
We'll go into a mall and there'll be 1,000 fans there. And we'll get right in the middle of all of them. And just handle it. It changes from a frenzy situation to a let's talk, let's hang out situation. I can see it in your walk,
tell when you talk. Despite the occasionally...
Okay, so kind of a Boston accent.
Hmm.
Was in New Kids on the Block. It's Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh!
Marky Mark's little brother.
Older brother.
Or older brother, that's right.
Yeah, I think Marky Mark's the little brother.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's now on Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Band of Brothers. He's more famous as an actor now.
Mm-hmm.
And also co-owner of the Wahlburgers burger chain. But yeah, back then, May 7th, 1990, he was in New Kids on the Block.
Oh, New Kids on the Block. My sister had a towel, like a beach towel,
yeah,
that had all of the New Kids on the Block's faces on it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being so weirded out by it. Like, I didn't want to lay
that,
on it.
That was, like, one of the first big, like, I guess white boy bands of that genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because before then, it was Boys to Men.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I prefer Boys to Men.
Yes.
But...
I'll make love to you.
The Spanish version of that is hilarious.
Oh, really?
They mispronounce everything. From what I'm told, I don't speak Spanish. But, yeah, the New Kids on the Block became a huge craze around, like, 1990, 91, and then just kind of burned out.
Mm-hmm.
But Donnie Wahlberg sought fame elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was funny.
Do you think Marky Mark and... I'm just going to keep calling him Marky Mark.
He's always going to be Marky Mark.
Do you think him and Donnie... argue about whose fame is better?
Oh, well, it's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't he win an Oscar or something?
Did he?
He was in The Departed, right?
Oh,
I can't
remember. The Departed was great, but he wasn't.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see The Departed?
I never saw The Departed.
Oh, I highly recommend
it.
Yeah,
I probably should.
Like Jack Nicholson is awesome in it. Yeah. So is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, he was another hot star from the early 90s. was Leo, yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah, sex symbol kind of
right.
Kid, yeah.
Along with Donnie Wahlberg of Blue Bloods and Wahlburgers.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so let's get into the episode here, The Most Toys. This was, as we said, a collection episode, but it starts out as, like, yet another routine mission. There's some kind of poison. I think they called it, like, tricyanate or something. It's one of those things that don't really exist mm-hmm. in the real universe, but exists in Star Trek. It's contaminated the water supply of some colony. And there's this really volatile compound that's, like, the only antidote to it. And it can't be transported.
So right.
This is important. They got to load it up onto a shuttlecraft. They contacted this merchant, this guy named Kivas Fajo.
I love Kivas.
Oh, excellent character.
Yes.
Saul Rubinek is the actor. He mm-hmm. was a character actor. He's like one of those people that you've seen in
yes.
stuff before. And I couldn't point out like what I remember him is he's the Pulp Fiction writer from Unforgiven.
Ah, yes.
So he's the guy that wants to hang out with Gene Hackman's character mm-hmm. and like study his gunfighting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always like this kind of odd, squirrely guy,
mm-hmm.
But he's great at it.
Yes.
He really makes this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so he's the only guy that has this antidote. Data is loading up the shuttle pod, and as you said, it's the Pike. And these other people are helping him. And then this woman, who is some type of alien, her name is Varia, she's like, yeah, you know, just you gotta confirm the shipment here. Just go ahead and sign on this little... You know, it basically gives him an iPad.
Yeah.
But it shocks him.
Yes.
And
it freezes
him. And he's, like, frozen. It's like, already something is up.
Oh, yeah.
And no one really has seen this on the Enterprise. So there's no, like, camera. There's no constant communication. Like, he's just doing the pre-flight check stuff. And they're like, oh, okay. Everything seems to be fine. And then we see the shuttle go out and explode.
What? Data's dead!
Data's dead! Oh my god!
Except we know he can't be dead.
Right, we saw what happened.
We saw him get frozen, but the crew think they have another Tasha Yar situation.
Oh yeah, it's another Skin of Evil for these mm-hmm. guys. What a terrible episode that was. This one's a little different. It's a little subterfuge.
Mm-hmm.
But Picard, he hails Kivas Fajo to figure out what was going on. And he's like kind of dressed like the space pope kind of guy.
He does look like a space pope.
He's very
with
fancy.
With these giant pinky rings.
Giant rings, mm-hmm. you know, this velvet red outfit. And, you know, he just kind of looks like a mafia dude.
He definitely looks like a guy you shouldn't trust.
Right, yeah. And
there's Picard trusting him.
I know. God, the Federation is so naive in this episode.
I can't believe they didn't do a background check
right.
on him before this part.
Yeah.
Later in the episode, they do a background check on him.
This guy with this extremely important and rare material that we need to have a bunch of people not die. Like, we're not going to just check him out? Just see what his whole deal is? Why does he have this?
Yeah.
Why does he have this weird antidote?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if someone just has the antidote, say, to, like, I don't know, some nerve gas, and they're the only person with it, I'm going to start thinking, do you have a whole bunch of nerve gas?
Yeah.
Like,
why do you have
this? Why do you have this? They don't think that.
No,
though.
They don't even worry about
it. No, they're just like, hey, what happened, man? And he's like, yeah, really disappointing, huh? Oh, bummer. And they don't like him, but like they're not getting any information out of him, basically. And they got the, you know, they transfer the materials that they need to get rid of this contamination, and that's about it. They have just enough to cancel out the contamination.
Exactly enough.
Yeah.
They have no
81
margin
kilos.
For error. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no more, no less.
Right.
So that's kind of weird.
It seems odd.
Uh-huh.
A guy has the exact,
amount
of antidote to the nerve gas.
To fix this poison situation, mm-hmm. he has no more, no less. Yeah. They don't put this together yet.
Nope.
Back on the cargo ship, the Jovis, Data, we see him alive. And he's stuck in the same position that he was. He's on this weird, like...
Spiral couch.
Spiral couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said when we were starting this, it was like, oh, it looks like an art gallery. And it turns out it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of stuck in this weird art gallery thing. There's a Salvador Dali painting up on the wall, you know, the one with the melting clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of other stuff that I don't recognize. I assume, like, art from alien species.
I think that's what it is supposed to be. He also has Van Gogh's Starry Night, but I didn't see that.
They don't have that...
But they say that in the episode.
They say that he has it, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't see it.
So he's just kind of wandering around, trying to figure out where he is. And then, you know, he asks Phaedro, like, hey, what is going on? And Phaedro's just like, well, you know, you're here to entertain me.
Yep.
You're part of my collection now.
There's a chair over there
yeah,
for
you
to
sit in.
Yeah, you
sit in the chair. This is where you're going to be displayed. And the reason that I have you is because you're one of a kind. There's nothing like you.
Although there is.
Yeah.
There's two.
Yeah. But well, he doesn't know that.
Mm-mm.
And he's just like kind of fawning over like not his personality, but about like how he's built. And he's like, oh, the voice modulators or whatever. And the way that this guy is played, like I just want to talk a minute to praise this guy's ability.
Oh, yeah.
Saul Rubinek does an excellent job.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of dancing around the
right,
room
yeah.
in a really joyous manner.
Right.
I don't know.
He doesn't
really well
seem at first like a very threatening villain, and then as it goes on and on, it's like, wow, this is one of the most evil people I've ever seen on the show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And,
but he's so, that's what makes him so evil. He's also so likable as he's doing these horrible
right,
things.
Yeah, like yes. He has this really rich charisma, and like, I don't know, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he has captured Data, and Data's like, you can't do that. I'm a Starfleet officer, and I'm a living thing. You have to let me go.
He basically says, no, I don't.
Right, he's like, nope, everyone thinks you're dead, so you're not in Starfleet anymore.
They're not even looking for you.
Yeah, they saw what happened, and yeah, that's it. But I, you know what? Don't worry about it, man. I can give you anything that you want. And he's like, I want to leave. He's like, I accept that.
Clever android.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like trying to get out. He's like, I'm going to escape any way that I can. He's like, well, you know, if there were 10 androids, maybe you could move that door, but too strong for you. And then it's like keyed to his skin patterns or something
like
that.
Yeah, to their DNA.
Right. And then he tries to attack Phaedro, and there's a force field and knocks his ass down.
You can see the stunt double
right.
fly through the air.
Yeah,
this is where HDTV is.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, that kind of ruins the illusion.
Yeah, I know. And Phaedro's just like, yeah, I wouldn't try to do that again.
I got one of these things on. And then I spent the rest of the episode wondering, what is the range on that force field? Because sometimes they
right.
get pretty close to each
and,
other.
And then sometimes it's like kind of far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe he can control, like, the bubble.
Yeah.
But he takes him, like, through a tour of the gallery, and he's got, like, this vase that's really rare, and, you know, he's got this weird puppet
yeah.
that is
well,
extinct. it's supposed to be some kind of alien creature.
And they make this noise to it, they're like, no.
Yeah, and they're feeding it, like, worms and stuff. And then he has a Roger Maris baseball card that he has preserved the bubblegum smell, and everything in here is one of a kind. So... he mentions at some point, like, this other collector. He's like, this guy's going to be so jealous. So apparently there's, like, this community of one-of-a-kind collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of them.
Yeah.
And now he's got Data. Back on the ship, on the Enterprise, Geordi and Wesley, who are Data's closest friends, are going through all this stuff. Yeah, it's weird to think about. But, yeah, they're going through all of his stuff, and... they find, like, his medals. He has all these high commendations, and they have a book of Shakespeare that the captain gave to him that they're going to give back to the captain. And then they also find a hologram of Tasha Yar, which Data has kept hidden from everyone else among his personal belongings. And then Geordi and Wesley, they start talking about, like, what could have happened. Geordi seems questionable about the official story.
Right.
He's just like...
it just doesn't make sense
right.
to him.
He's like, I played it through my head countless times, and Data is an android. He cannot make mistakes. And especially not with piloting, like, such a simple task here. I just... it doesn't add up.
Mm-mm. And it doesn't, right?
It really doesn't.
And Jordy is just running this through his head over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you can watch him slowly kind of losing his cool.
Yeah. Back on the Jovis, the cargo ship where Data's at, Varia, who is the assistant who knocked Data out, comes in and talks to him. And she's like, look, he's going to make you change out of your Starfleet uniform and wear this weird set of clothes. Just do it. Look, just do what he says. Come on.
Because he does terrible things to those who don't agree with him. And then she points at her face.
Yeah, so something happened to her.
Yes.
And it's never really made clear, but it is made clear that she is in this abusive relationship with this guy.
And this scene is really great because she says to him, she says to Data, face it, he has you.
Right.
And then Data responds, looks like he has you too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of see like this weird alliance forming or the potential for one because she's captured as well.
Right.
Everyone on the ship is basically this guy's slave. Like, they don't have a choice. Mm-mm.
And he's, like, brainwashed them in weird manipulative ways.
Yeah. So, man, this dude is evil. But Data is saying that he's going to try everything that he can to escape. He knows that the Enterprise is going to be scanning all the remains of the shuttle pod, and they're not going to find him there. And she's like, no, we planted trace elements of your body in there. And that's
right,
what they'll find. So, yeah, face it. They think you're dead. You're never getting out of here.
So put on this funky outfit.
Yeah, put on this weird clothes, dude. Back in the Enterprise, we're in the ready room. And Geordi, he's there ostensibly to give the Book of Shakespeare back. But he's also really trying to push this, what appears to Picard and Riker, a conspiracy theory. That Data maybe isn't actually dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe this was all a plant.
But he doesn't have the evidence to prove
it. Right. He just knows it doesn't add up because he like lists all this protocol that Data was doing, and it was like, and then his final transmission was just basic standard shuttle piloting protocol. Pilot error is the only official explanation for why this happened. And Data's like, not only is that improbable, it is impossible. Data doesn't make mistakes. He's an android. That's his whole thing.
Right.
And Picard's like, look, man, I know it's hard to believe, but it happens. And Geordi's like, look, I don't buy it, man. I'm going to keep investigating this, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Picard is like, you better rest, though, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of going crazy.
Your best friend is dead.
Yeah.
Take a nap. Go see Deanna Troi.
Yeah, man. And, oh, also, by the way, Worf is taking over Data's spot
at
the helm.
Mm-hmm.
So Geordi leaves. And Riker says something about how it's interesting that an android who's supposed to be emotionless brings about such emotion in other people. And then he leaves, and Riker, you know, flips through the Shakespeare thing, and he's reading something from Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
Back on the Jovis, Fajo comes in, and this is where he's trying to get him to change into the weird outfit. And he is so pissed that this guy is not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Put on the outfit, sit in the chair.
Right. Yeah. And he can't make him do it because he's a sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once again, we run into this problem where people keep trying to treat Data like a toaster. And as we've seen, he is not.
No.
He's a living thing.
And he'll do everything in his power to do what he wants to do.
Right. And he's strong as hell, so he can do that. And he has this continuing argument where he's like, look, I'm a Starfleet officer. I'm not going to change out of my uniform. And Fajo's like, look, I don't even get why you're in Starfleet. And I actually agree with him on this argument, where he's like, you're a pacifist in a military organization. Who came up with that stupid idea? And it sounds like kind of a swipe at Gene Roddenberry.
Mm-hmm.
And then they argue back and forth. And finally, Fajo just goes to the replicator, and he pulls out, like, this acid, and he throws it at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't worry, it's not going to burn your skin or whatever you call skin, but in a few seconds, it's going to remove your uniform. Maybe you can walk around naked. I don't care.
I would like to see you naked.
Yeah, it's like, you don't have any modesty, right? I can make you do that. But sooner or later, you're going to put on that outfit, and you're going to sit in that chair. And Data's just like watching his clothes burn off, and he's just like, oh, man, this sucks. He doesn't really have much of a reaction, but you can tell that he does not like where he's at.
No.
On the Enterprise, Geordi is sleeping with his shoes on.
Yeah. Full uniform, shoes
full
on,
uniform,
visor off.
Shoes on, no covers, weird block pillow. I don't know how anyone sleeps on this ship. Every time I see someone asleep, they are just laying down fully clothed. I do not get it.
No, we've seen Picard's jammies.
Oh, okay, except for Picard.
Picard gets sexy jammies.
Right. he switches into full chest exposed pajamas. Why even bother wearing a shirt outfit?
Mm-hmm.
But no, Geordi is full uniform, shoes on, visor off, though.
Yes.
And he's having a very tumultuous sleep. And as he wakes up, he's like, oh, I've got it. You know, he's figured out why or what happened to Data, he thinks. So he goes and talks.
Well, he says, oh, I missed something.
Right. He goes and grabs Wesley, and they're going over the transmission. Everything is protocol, and everything is fine. And at the end, they find that Data failed to transmit one thing. It was just some basic status message.
Yeah,
like it
that
cuts
he's
off.
Cleared the shuttle bay.
Right, and it just cuts off. And they're like, well, he was submitting every other piece of protocol, but this one. Why would he skip that?
And the other two trips, he did say it.
Right.
So in this third one, so he never actually cleared the shuttle bay.
Yeah, that's what they think, mm-hmm. is that something happened to him in the shuttle bay. Because otherwise, why would he not send this? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So
some other pilot who wasn't Data may or may not say that, because they don't always communicate it. But
right.
it is procedure, and
he always follows
it exactly.
Well, he's programmed
to. Exactly.
He can't not do it.
Right.
So
it's compulsive.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're seeing Worf and Deanna Troi, and they're talking about like how Worf feels basically about taking over Data's old spot immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Deanna Troi's like, I know that must be tough for you. And Worf's like, look, happens all the time on Klingon vessels. People die a lot on those, you know? And she's like, yeah, but look, you've never served on a Klingon vessel, really. Like, you're on an Enterprise ship. You're on the Enterprise. You know, it's got to be tough. So
it's also the second time you've done this.
Yeah. You know, took over for Tasha Yar. Mm-hmm. So if you need anybody to talk to, he's like, look, I'm fine. Whatever. This is my duty. This is what I do.
Well, he honors them by trying to do as good a job as they did.
As they did.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. I like Worf. Later on, Fajo is trying to show off Data to this guy that shows up.
I loved this guy's
this
makeup.
This dude, Paylor.
So
yeah,
crazy.
He's like a weird pig dude, and he's got this huge nose ring that takes over his entire head.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this guy rules. And he's, like, super drunk.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's wasted.
Yeah, he's, like, stumbling around. He's like, ooh, an excellent collection.
Is this a mannequin?
Yeah. Finally, they get to Data, and he's not doing anything.
No,
he's wearing
awesome.
He's wearing the outfit.
Yes.
But he's totally motionless.
Staring just forward.
He's basically shut down. And they're trying to get him to do stuff. Fajo is just like, look, man, you got to talk. Come on, Data. Come on, show off. And Paylor is just like, it's a mannequin. Oh, very interesting. Oh, you suck. And then,
like, ooh, you got hosed on this deal.
Yeah. And then Fajo pushes Data, and he just falls over. He's like, oh, it falls well. And he laughs at him. And, Fajo is yelling at Data after
Don't
Paylor
be
leaves.
Mad, Fajo. I'm having a splendid time.
Right. Fajo's pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell he's like, he's going to take this out on him later.
Mm-hmm.
And storms out. On the Enterprise, they're trying to deliver that antidote to the colony. And they're running through all the basic protocol. And they send this probe down to the water table where the contamination is. But something is weird. Worf notices that whatever antidote thing that they have, this rare material, it is taking over the contamination way too quickly. Like, something isn't right. It's
right.
Like everything is going a little too perfectly, a little too quickly.
And this scene also is where Picard calls Worf Data.
That's right. I forgot about that. Picard turns around and tries to ask Data for, like, a status report, and he's like, oh, oops.
It's, like, this really... It's a cool scene, because they...
There's a brief, awkward silence.
Yeah, they let that pregnant pause just sit there after he says it.
Yeah.
And then Picard just apologizes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was cool. But yeah, the antidote is too powerful.
Right. It's almost like this was designed.
Yes.
To happen.
It's like a lock and key meant to go together.
Exactly. Which, if this were a natural occurrence, no, this wouldn't happen like this. And it is weird that, isn't it, that we have exactly the right amount of antidote
for this
particular situation? Yeah, you know, let's send an away team. So Riker, Worf, and Dr. Crusher, they go down to this water source to figure out what the hell is going on. While that's happening, Data's back in the art gallery, and he sees the Mona Lisa. This guy's got the Mona Lisa, of all things. And Data's trying to imitate the smile, which I thought was a cute little couple seconds. Mm-hmm. Fajo comes in, and he's like, look, now you're going to sit on that chair. I don't understand why you don't sit on that chair. Come on, buddy. Just sit on the chair.
Look at it. You don't even need comfort.
Right.
It looks great.
Hey, you know, while we're talking about this cool chair that I got, I'm going to show you something else cool that I got. A Veron T disruptor.
Oof.
Oh, you ever hear about these? And Data's like, yeah, those are illegal for a good reason. They tear people from the inside out.
It is the most painful way to die.
Yeah. You will hurt very much before you die. And he's like, yeah, I know. They're great. I sleep with one under my pillow.
and I sleep very well knowing it's there.
And then Data's like, look, if this is a threat, I know you're not going to shoot me. I'm too valuable. He's like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't shoot you. Hey, Varia, could you come in here?
Oh, man, this is when his evil shows.
It's hard to watch. Like, he's talking to Varia, and he's got, like, the gun behind his back, and he's saying, it's like, how long have we known each other? Oh, 14 years. Yeah, it's like, we've been
through a lot. You were
barely
a child when I found you.
Yeah, and then he pulls the gun out. He's like, well, I'll miss you. See ya. And then we cut to Data, and he's in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's been bested.
Yes. Like, well, he also says he must protect. It's part of his protocol is to protect
other life.
All life, yeah.
Yeah. On the planet, the away team is searching through this water table, and they find a lot of weird stuff.
The Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah, as you said, it's the Rainforest Cafe. For one thing, tricyanide, which is this fictional element that's supposed to be poisoning the water, it's not native to this planet. So somebody had to plant it. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody put this here. We know that. And the other thing is that this weird counter agent, this, I forget what it's called, it's pretty weird that Fajo just very conveniently had it, right? Like, we piece that together.
Finally!
They finally get it. And one of the things Dr. Crusher points out is that if you wanted to poison a water supply, there are much easier and better ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this thing is slow to react, it doesn't really kill that many people, and it's hard to transport. It's, like, almost impossible. Why would you do it? Huh.
Maybe if you wanted to attract certain people.
Right.
Hmm.
And then, finally, Riker is the guy that pieces it together, and he's like, yeah, it is pretty lucky that Fajo had the antidote and is the only guy. It's almost like he wanted us to come into some kind of deal with him. Huh. So
maybe we should do a background check.
Yeah,
on
maybe
this
we
guy
should
now.
Do that. So they finally do a background check, and they're like, "Oh, he's got all these. He's got Starry Night. He's got all this other like weird alien shit, and he's like the only dude that has them.
Oh, he's a collector of rare and unique things.
But what do we have that's very rare and one of a kind, and was also on his ship?
That seems strange. We should go find him.
Right. So,
dummies.
Yeah.
God.
Geordi asks, he's like, you know, what could have happened if Data wasn't on the shuttle when it blew up? You know, well, just entertain me for a second. What if they sent the shuttle out, blew it up so that they could trick us into keeping Data because we thought he was dead? So this weird conspiracy theory that Geordi had turns out to be true.
Yep.
The moon landing was faked.
Yeah,
so
it's made in the soundstage.
Yeah, they haul ass to go find the Jovis, and they put out a systems wide alert to Federation. Like he's a fugitive now. They're gonna find him. Meanwhile, on the Jovis, Varia is like running in. She's like, "Look, quick! He's asleep. I'm gonna help you." I mean, she almost did get murdered by this guy,
right?
And she finds a secret compartment where there's another disruptor. And she's like, if you help me, I will help you. But you have to promise to get me out of here. And Data's like, okay.
Deal.
It's a deal.
They run out the door.
They run out the door with a very deadly weapon towards the cargo bay. Varia is like helping them get into this escape pod, and then these two other dudes come in. I didn't know there were other people on the ship.
Yeah,
but
some crewmen
come in, and you know, Data's strong as hell. Like, he just throws them around like rag dolls and knocks them both out. And they're about to escape, and then Fajo arrives. He's got the other disruptor, the one that he sleeps, with. He's got the drop on Varia, and shoots her. And it's, man, yeah. She like screams the whole time, and then just kind of evaporates
and then pops like, yep. Like sits in her heart for a minute.
Oh god, like, ugh. Data sees all of this happen, and we know that he can't feel rage, that he can't feel any kind of emotion, and Fajo knows this too, and he goes through this whole thing about how, like, oh, you know, I know that you can't feel anything, and I know that you're programmed to protect all life forms. Well, I'm a life form. So what are you going to do?
Me.
Are you going to shoot me? And, you know, Data has this gun on him. And he's like...
It's such an interesting problem for Data because, yes, he is living, but the man is also clearly a criminal and a murderer.
Right. And the other thing is, I think it is morally permissible, not only permissible, but probably imperative to kill him at this point because he's got other people on the ship.
Right. And well, and that's what Data is even saying. Like,
yeah.
I cannot let this continue.
He says, I cannot permit this to continue.
Because it's more dangerous. More
right.
Life will be lost. If this
and as
remains.
He's saying this, Fajo points to this other guy who's like, you know, and I'll just threaten these other people's lives because I know you don't care if I threaten you because I'm not going to destroy you, but I can kill that guy. And this other dude just like wakes up and he's like, oh yeah, I guess you will kill me. And, like,
and then he
off.
Walks off scene.
Yeah. He's like, so what are you going to do? You're going to kill me? And then Data doesn't drop the disruptor. And mm-hmm. We see Fajo, like, is actually terrified.
Right. And he points it even more deliberately at his head.
Right. And then he's transported.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the transporter room, Riker and O'Brien are there. And O'Brien's like, yeah, so we got Data. He's got a weapon.
And
it's being discharged.
huh,
that's weird.
So he pulled the trigger.
Yeah, he pulled the trigger. He was going to murder this dude.
Yeah.
Data,
vigilante him.
Yeah. Data arrives, and he's got the disruptor held out, and then he sees where he is, and he immediately, you know, puts it in, not pointing at somebody,
yeah,
and surrenders it to Riker. And Riker's like, huh, you know, Data, it said that this thing was being fired. You know anything about that? And Data's like, oh, I don't know. Something must have happened when I was being transported. Like, he lies to him.
Yeah.
I didn't know he knew how to lie. Data's a badass. Oh, my God.
Well, maybe Data doesn't know if he pulled the trigger or not.
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he did, too.
I think he did just because, like, I know he's programmed to protect all life, but I think that, like, moral calculus, he was protecting the life of the other people
exactly.
That this guy had enslaved.
Right.
Like, if you're kidnapped by somebody, I'm sorry, you got to do what you got to do to get the hell out of there.
I don't know why she just didn't kill him in his sleep.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, it's kind of
choke
like...
Choke him out with a pillow, you know?
Right, yeah.
Plenty of captured women have done that to
right,
to
yeah,
men.
That's, you know, it's like Spartacus. You got to get out of there, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Any means. And Data, I think, was not protecting his own life. He was protecting the life of the other person. Because we notice when it switched is when Fajo said, I could kill him.
Right.
And Data's just like, oh, I can't permit this to continue. He wasn't talking about him being captured. He was talking about him killing all these other people that he had enslaved.
Right.
So I think he did it.
I do too. Again, the lives of the many outweigh the lives
yeah,
of the few.
Well, yeah, and also of this one criminal dude. Because Data wanted to capture him. He wanted to bring him to justice, but he couldn't.
Right.
He didn't have any other choice. Instead, though, they were able to capture Fajo. He didn't know that the Enterprise was tailing him this whole time. So Data goes to visit Fajo, and he's in the brig. He's like, oh, well, I guess the tables have turned. Now you've got me in your collection. And Data's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, oh, well, I'm not going to grovel. I know you want me to grovel. He's like, I don't want you to grovel. I don't care about you at all. And he's like, I'm still a rich badass dude. He's like trying to puff himself up this whole time. And then Data's just like, no, they took all of your stuff.
Yeah.
Everything that you value.
Stole, and yeah. You have no value now.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, well, I bet that makes you feel good, doesn't it? And he says, I'm an android. I don't have any feelings. and walks out.
Yeah,
mic
drop.
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah, Dana.
Holy shit.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then credits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know this was kind of a short episode, but, like, it was very tight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty much why. There is one thing, though, that I wanted to mention that I totally forgot about. When Fajo is trying to get Data to put on the outfit, this is just amazing acting by Saul Rubinek at this point. He starts to talk about, like, his bad childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he clearly fakes a single tear and just goes back to normal after. He's like, ah, actually, my dad was rich. I was just messing with you. Oh, man, like, he's such, like, a trickster.
Oh, yeah.
And an asshole that's just, oh, yeah, of course he would do that. Of course he would be a guy who knows how to fake a single tear.
Yeah, and they did it so well.
Yeah.
And Data's just standing there watching him
right.
kind of go through these emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
He's just, like, this hyperactive
sociopath.
Sociopath, yeah. Man, it was good.
All right, great. Well, this is the part of the podcast where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. And if we thought it was horrible, avoid at all costs. Don't watch this. Burn your eyeballs out. We leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what'd you think?
I'm going to set to kill this with a disruptor, man.
Hell yeah. Boop, boop, boop.
Oh, my God. The worst way to die.
My insides.
Yeah, no, it was good. I know that we've seen a whole lot of these episodes where we're like, what is Data? You know, is he sentient? And sometimes that can get kind of tiring.
Sure.
We saw a measure of a man. I get the idea. But this did it in a totally different way. It's, again, other people dealing with the sentience of this weird being. But Fodger just totally rejects it. At one point, he's like, yeah, I know you're a sentient being. I don't care, dude.
Right.
I want mine. And you're what I want, so I don't care about your feelings. And it's like, oh, well, how do you deal with that then? And it turns out, you just gotta kill him.
Patrick, seeing a new side of you today.
Well, no, I mean, like, he had other people
Street
captured.
Street justice!
He had other people captured, which was the thing. And, like, it would be, in that situation, it'd be permissible, because that's the only way to escape. As it turns out, the Enterprise, you know, figured out what was going on. It's kind of a deus ex machina.
In the nick of time.
Yeah. But that was an interesting thing. It's like we hadn't really seen that side of Data or that side of the Federation and him being put in that situation. Man, that was really interesting to watch. The other thing is Saul Rubinek's acting. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Just it really made the episode for me. So, yeah, set to kill.
Yeah, I give it set to kill as well for all of the same reasons. Should we?
Oh, my God.
Oh, but all the same reasons. I thought that this episode was a joy to watch.
Yeah.
It flies by. It's super fun.
Yeah.
In how dark and twisted it gets, it's all so well portrayed. I just get lost in the fantasy of it.
Yeah.
Love this episode. Set to kill. 100 times over.
Man. Right.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, I do want to thank our Patreon subscribers.
Thank
and,
you.
Or donors, whatever we call them. We will be having some more original series for you this month. And if you are not a Patreon donor, please consider going to patreon.com/pettrek. You're going to find all of our regular episodes for TNG. Those are going to be free. But we also do a couple episodes a month for $5 where we will do the same treatment, but for the original series. We already did the first two episodes. If you subscribe, you will have those to listen to. I'm really enjoying the original series.
Yeah, so far so good.
Totally different.
Yes.
In a weird, like, I just love the 60s sci-fi aesthetic, and which is what that is. So.
Well, in Star Trek, with the exception of the pilot, which is a little whatever, but the original series starts with a bang.
Yeah.
Unlike it takes a little bit to get into
Salt
Next
Vampire,
Gen.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. That's so good.
That's creepy.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much for supporting us, everybody who does. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You can also listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive dungeon crawl that I do with my friends where you can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, and anything else you can think of. And me and my friends have to deal with it. The show's going great. Thank you so much to everybody who listens to that
one. Big Reddit post.
Oh, hell yeah. We're Reddit famous. I keep telling Lauren that when we're like doing dishes and stuff. I'm like, I don't know.
Have you been recognized on the street yet?
For my post.
Right.
No, I just like, I'm like scrubbing a pan and I'm like, you know, I think I'm a little too Reddit famous for this. She's not buying it.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to check it out, go to thedungeonrats.com or follow me on the Tweet Machine app. Pat likes to tweet.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.